Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Nice to hear all these conversations going on, and there's so much happening this morning, it seems to me, but it's time now for settling and quiet. So we welcome you all to our service this morning, whether in the building or on Zoom or YouTube, and we thank Jo Claire Young for leading our service today. Jo is the Synod Mission and Training Officer. And also today, before I light the candle, there's someone with a birthday today, and it's Mike, and he's at least 165. He wears very well. I was just wondering if he might go mad and sing happy birthday to Mike. What do you reckon?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you.
So now I'm going to light the candle. We can all calm down. Time of peace before we begin worship. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you all this morning. We come from all kinds of different places. We come from different lives. We come from different stresses and strains. But we come together as a community, as a family. And as we come together, we come with open hearts and open hands and open minds to worship our God. So let's start that worship now by lighting some more candles. Well, one more candle. Cindy is going to come and light our first Advent candle. Thank you, Cindy.
We light this first candle to pray for hope. We pray for ourselves and for everyone. We ask that our hope will be fixed on God, and that God will inspire us to hope for good things. We pray for everyone who feels that their hope has gone. May they find new hope that shines like this candle flame. Lord Jesus Christ, hope of our hearts and hope for the world, come close to us this Advent. Amen.
I feel like every Advent I think, we really need some hope this year. But oh boy, we really need some hope this year, so let's hope that candle keeps shining bright. I believe we're now going to sing some worship songs. I'm going to move so I can see the screen. Okay, I'll stand away from the mic then, because none of us need that.
Come thou before him now.
So here we are in Advent. We are the people of the wait, aren't we? We're always waiting for something, waiting for Christmas, waiting for Easter, waiting for the resurrection. Are we good at waiting? Who's good at waiting? Show of hands, who's good at waiting? You're patient. We have a couple of patient people, three or four, yeah. I'm not good at waiting. I'm very bad at waiting. But I want you to try and experiment with me as we do our first prayer. I want us to wait. When I say the words, "we will wait," I want us to count to five in our heads and then say, you join in and say with me, "for God." Okay, so I'll say, "we will wait for God." And we'll see if we can get it together. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together, that we can start together on our Advent adventure with you. Make us people of the wait. We will wait for God. This is a story of light dawning, light that is yearned for, longed for, and desperately sought. This is a story of light dawning in darkness, and we will wait
for God.
This is a story of hope dawning, hope that is yearned for, longed for, desperately sought, a story of hope dawning in the midst of despair, and we will wait
for God.
This is a story of peace dawning, peace that is yearned for, longed for, and desperately sought, a story of peace coming in the midst of violence, and we will wait
for God.
This is a story about Jesus, a baby dawning as light of the world, a dayspring of hope, the bright and morning star, and we will wait
for God.
He is the Prince of Peace. We take our place in this gospel story on our Advent adventure. And as we do, Lord, give us light for the journey. Give us hope to guide our feet onto the paths of peace. And we will wait
for God.
Not bad. Not bad. You got a bit quicker towards the end. But not bad. One verse from Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So I've got a story for you this morning, and there'll be some pictures on our screen. Sorry. I'm going to put the Lord's Prayer later just to annoy the people on the tech. Keep going. We should have some pictures. That's it. And I'll wave at you, or you can try and guess when we're changing. But this is the story about a pig and an elephant called Gerald. The pig's just called Piggy for some reason, but the elephant is called Gerald. And Piggy's very excited to come and see Gerald. He comes and sees Gerald. Let's have another slide. And he says, "I've got a surprise for you, Gerald." And Gerald is quite excited at this. Gerald says, "Yay! What's the surprise?" "I can't wait. I can't wait for the surprise." And then Piggy says, "You're going to have to. You've got to wait." Gerald's not very happy about this. "Wait. What? Why? Why have I got to wait?" The surprise isn't here yet. Poor Gerald. Look at that face. And then Gerald says what we're all thinking. "Waiting is not easy. It's not easy to wait." "Piggy," says Gerald, "I want my surprise now." And then Gerald starts to get a bit grumpy. "I don't think your surprise is actually worth waiting for at all," he says. And then he gets angry. "I'm done with waiting. I don't want to wait." I'm sure he got quite frustrated, poor Gerald. And it went on and on because he waited and waited and waited all day. And then all of a sudden, "It's getting dark," says Gerald. "It's getting dark! We've waited too long." And then it got really dark. "We've wasted the whole day! We've waited and we've waited and we've waited and we've waited." And I put this slide in twice, which was wrong. "And we've waited and we've waited and we've waited and we've waited." And then Gerald says, "For what?" And then Piggy said, pointing at the sky, "For that." And all the stars came out. God's wonderful creation is on display. And all Gerald and Piggy could do was look up in wonder, as you and I do on those rare occasions we get a clear night when it's not raining, looking up at the northern lights and the stars and the wonder. So during this Advent, we might get a bit grumpy. Hopefully we won't assault any pigs, but we might get a bit grumpy. We might get a bit frustrated by it. But eventually we are going to gaze on something special. We're going to see the wonder of God's plan, the wonder of creation. Amen. We are going to take up our offering for the work of the church. Where shall I come? I'll come round the edge here. There we go. Thank you very much.
God, we thank you that we have so many blessings from you, that we can bring some of it back for the work of this church, of your kingdom, here and throughout the world. And with this offering of our treasure, we bring our time and our talents, our hands, and offer them to you as well for the work of your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Amen. Thank you both very much.
So we're going to sing together again. Let's sing Lord of All Hopefulness, which if anyone's following in the book is 531, but I don't think anyone is, are they? Nope, okay. 531, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Thank you.
we're going to hear our first story, our main reading, Jeremiah 33.
The Lord said, "The time is coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the people of Israel and Judah. At that time I will choose a king, a righteous descendant of David. That king will do what is right and just throughout the land. The people of Judah and of Jerusalem will be rescued and will live in safety. The city will be called the Lord our Salvation."
Thank you. The time is coming. Another indication that we need to wait. The first Sunday in Advent is always a bit of a shock, and you always get the preacher rambling on about waiting. And it's countercultural, isn't it, to wait anymore? Okay, show of hands. Who's put their tree up? Come on, be honest. One. I don't believe it's only one. I don't believe it's only one. Who's brought their tree? If they're buying a new one, yep. Who's bought some presents? Oh, a lot of planning people here. Excellent. Who's already heard some Christmas music in a shop or on the radio? Yeah. Who's already heard it in November? No, don't say that. And then you arrive at church, having not put your tree up, although some of you are fibbing, having brought some presents, maybe even having wrapped a few, certainly having made plans. And the first thing you're told is we need to wait. It's countercultural. Joy to the world, but not too quickly. We're entering this season that's marked by a deliberate tension. We're remembering Israel that waited and hoped. And we're going to give thanks for Christ's birth, but also anticipate the fact that Christ will come again. Advent used to be a penitential season, a bit like Lent, a time for discipline, a time for intentional repentance, a time for confident expectation of Christ coming again, whilst acknowledging that we were not worthy. Joy to the world, definitely not so fast. But we don't tend to do that anymore. Perhaps we don't decorate the churches until we get a bit further along, apart from, of course, our Advent candles. In our reading, Jeremiah keeps telling us the time is coming, and at that time, it's very much about time. The days are coming. This text invites us to a posture of waiting, to be people who wait. Wait and see what's around the corner. Wait and see what's coming. Not people that assume whatever this moment holds, whether it's creaturely comforts or defeats, not expecting that what's going on at the moment is God's final word. Whatever we're going through in our lives, not God's final word, because we are waiting. We're waiting with hope. We lit our candle for hope. And I noticed that very sensibly we lit the biggest candle, the tallest candle for hope, because that's the one that's going to need to burn every week. Very sensible planning. Whatever's going on in our lives, we hold that candle of hope and we know it's going to keep burning because this isn't the final word. We are waiting for something better. And Advent is our season to practice this, and rehearse this because we're waiting for Christmas. But we're waiting for the rest of it as well. All our lives we are waiting with that candle of hope lit in our hearts. And there's so much hope rooted in this text. The time is coming when I will fulfill my promises to you. The time is coming when the people of Judah and Jerusalem will be rescued, will live in safety. This is a text of hope and of promise and of preparing us for the time to come. It's a text written to people who were in exile. the days are coming when a branch of David, when a branch of David will be here again. This book's written to people in exile. Now, we feel sorry for ourselves some of the time. We might feel sorry for ourselves as a result of some of the recent elections. We don't talk about politics from the pulpit, but you know, we may not be happy about some of the recent election results or about some of the decisions that our rulers make. We might feel like we're in exile. But oh boy, were the people of Israel in exile. And this book was written to them, to comfort them, to remind them that the candle of hope is lit. Most of the book is taken up with the themes of God's judgment. Most of Jeremiah is quite a depressing read. If you're thinking of doing the Bible in a year next year, you know, when you start on January the 1st and get as far as Leviticus and give up, Jeremiah's another one. It's a depressing one. It's not an easy one to get through. Jeremiah's nickname's the Weeping Prophet. Sounds like a Doctor Who villain to me, the Weeping Prophet. But then we get towards the end, and all of a sudden, Jeremiah remembers the candle of hope. Jeremiah gets hopeful. The last few verses, chapters rather, chapters 30 to 33, Jeremiah suddenly has this stream of hope, which is why we get this reading in the first Sunday of Advent. Now, we could read this as a bit of a, oh, cheer up, it'll all be better. It'll all get better. It'll all come out in the wash. All of those sort of things. Or as a backward-looking thing. Oh, never mind Israel, you've gotten out of tighter jams than this one. Christmas isn't ruined. Remember the year you burnt the turkey? Christmas isn't that bad. Christmas isn't ruined. Remember when we didn't get the batteries? Oh, no batteries. We might have elected the Grinch in certain countries, but Santa will save the day. But it's more than that. Jeremiah's not just looking back. He's not just saying to them, look, things have been bad before and we've got through it. Keep the candle of hope burning. Jeremiah's inviting them to optimism. He's unveiling something of the character of God himself, the Lord of our salvation. This is a steady reality in which we might hope. Despite all the past circumstances, despite the things that we're worried about coming in the future, despite our present reality of exile, we can hope in a faithful God, a powerful God, a God who is committed to God's people. And it's also a reading about the coming of a king. So in some ways, hoping for a king is what got Israel into a lot of trouble. It led them into perilous and contested existence for a lot of years. It wasn't necessarily their best plan to want a king as a nation. But we don't always recognise the importance of God's promised restoration of this line of David. We think of David as something in the past that doesn't affect us. But it's our reminder that God can and does use broken people, tired people, people that have just don't think they can do anymore, people that need a week off. God can and does use them. He used David. And we're what God has to work with. And we're enough. God can and does work through broken people. God can and does bring light out of the darkness, hope out of despair. And that candle is our reminder of it. There's not many verses in this reading. It's a short reading. But Jeremiah picks up lots of echoes and harmonies from other parts of Scripture, particularly the other prophets. He talks a lot about the coming days. A lot about David, about Judah and Jerusalem. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king is coming. A king is coming, and in that we can hope. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Nothing could prevent the exile that was coming. And even in that exile, God was working for redemption. Even through a corrupt political system, God will wrest out a just and righteous ruler for the land. And the same today. Nothing can prevent what's coming. Whatever it is we're worrying about, whatever it is we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about, the darkness of corrupt and broken political systems, injustice throughout the world, whatever we worry about, we can still wait on God, wait on this promise of hope, on the coming of the day when to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We just need to wait. Amen. Can we go on now to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? Number 126. It's confused my pianist as well. Everybody hates me, but it's okay because I have hope. I have hope in Jesus. We're going to stay seated to sing O Come, Emmanuel, because we're going to pray after it. Okay, so let's just stay seated for now. Let us pray. Lord, we are Advent people, and we are coming to you for hope. We raise our prayers to you in hope. In our troubles and in our weaknesses, Lord, we ask that you come into the barren places of our souls. That you come down, come in and come among us and make us whole again. Into the places of war, the places where people flee, where people are made into refugees, where people live in conflict and fear. We ask that you come, Lord, that you come down, you come in, you come among us and make us whole again. Into the places where people are homeless, where people are unemployed, where people are working out how to put food on the table, where people who feel abandoned by society, left out, left alone. We ask that you come, Lord, that you come down, you come in, you come among us and make us whole. Into the places where people are sick, to those who are disabled, to those who are fearing illness, fearing the next medical appointment, to those suffering, we say, come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us and make us all whole. To those who are poor and starving, who are waiting for food bank to open, for those who are oppressed and abused, for those where home is not a safe space, we ask that you will come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. Into the lives of our loved ones and into the lives from those from whom we are estranged, we ask that you will come, Lord, that you will come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. And into our joys and celebrations this Advent and Christmas time, into our work and our achievements, we ask you to come, Lord. Come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. We pray for our church family who at this time are in special need. We pray for Sylvia, for Robert and for Sheila, for Ruth and her family, for Elizabeth, for Rita and Sam and Bridget and family, for Gareth, for Rosemary, for Alex and Jazz and Joe, for these members of our church family, we ask, come Lord, come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. For our friends in the other Norwich churches, we pray for the work to further develop this mission partnership. We pray for that person out there looking who might feel called to be our minister, that they will see the work that can be done here, that they will feel the pull of these four churches, that they will hear God's call loud and clear to them. We pray for our friends from Thretford URC following their closure service yesterday, that they may all find new homes, new churches to worship at, that they may know that you are with them in this difficult time. For all involved in the URCs in this area, in this synod, we ask, come Lord, come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. And for other people we have been asked to pray for Josh and Sharon, for Sky, for Philip, for Pam, for Parabi and John and family, for Sarah, for Penny, and for Annette's aunt and cousin. We ask, come Lord, come down, come in, come among us and make us whole. And for those members of our church family who are unable to join us in person, we ask that they know you close to them, know that we are thinking of them and that we are together. In a moment of quiet, we bring to God those that are on our hearts and minds, those that we know need an extra prayer this week. And we bring those prayers together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Look who I've got. I would say, do we all know who these are? But I think we do. It's Mary and it's Joseph. And I believe it's a tradition here for a posada to travel around your houses. So we have a little liturgy that can be used as it goes from house to house. So we're going to start it from here, and then this can be used each time it's passed on. And I know that Audrey would love some more volunteers to host Mary and Joseph. So this is from John 1, verses 10 to 12. The Word was in the world, and though God, through God, made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, and so he gave them the right to become God's children. So I have question, and the question is, who will give lodging to these pilgrims who are wearied from their journey? Their names are Joseph, who is a carpenter from Nazareth, and his wife Mary, who is expecting a baby son soon. So who is going to give lodging to these pilgrims? I believe it's Jane. Yes, she is. So James, there are some words for you on here as well. Say them nice and loudly, because I don't know if I can turn this round. There's the ones at the bottom, because you're receiving them.
My other half would say I've got a loud enough voice.
Welcome Mary and Joseph on your long journey. Come and stay with us, for we open our home and our hearts to you. Rest a while, for we too are looking forward to celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Wonderful. So Mary and Joseph are here, and Mary, like most women, has some very large luggage. So does the book travel with them as well? Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Thank you for housing our refugees. We're going to close our worship this morning by singing Joy to the World, a fantastic Advent hymn. You go this week, whatever you do this week, whatever you have to wait for this week, may the Lord go with you. May you know the blessing of the Christ child to come and the guidance of the Spirit, and keep the candle of hope burning brightly in your heart. Amen.